It is Locked On Jazz for Friday, October 26th. How two basketball geniuses can think so differently. Your questions from Facebook Live, a look at the Red Hot Pelicans, a runaround last night, and should we do small sample size theater points gained? I think we should. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz NBA Insider. For those of you that are listening to the podcast in your regular form on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or listening on your home speaker and did not watch the Facebook Live today, if you want to see the coolest hotel room ever, go ahead and check out the very first minute of our Facebook Live show that we showed there. I'm just going to do this again because I can, everybody. Whee! There it goes. Okay. I have a TV that comes out of a counter or whatever that is, like a cupboard or something. So I'm just putting it up and down. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. I'm David Locke. I do the radio for the team. I hang out, do this podcast for you. Try to give you a little insight, a little expertise, and some geeky numbers. All right, we're gonna do small sample size theater before it's over. I want to share a story with you, and then I want to get some of your thoughts and get your questions. Welcome to Blake Hobbs, who's joining live for the first time. So I had this incredible experience the other day. I think I alluded to it on yesterday's show. I had it all planned out that we were going to edit the sound, and for some reason I could not download the sound and get it edited. So you're just going to have to trust me. But so I was talking to Mike D'Antoni about playing quickly back and just his view of where the game is today, and you heard it on the pregame with Jake and Britton. And he says in that conversation, he says to me, well, you just got to play and not think. The minute you think, you become a low IQ player. Okay, and that's very much Mike's philosophy. One of the more interesting things that Mike said to me along the way is the fact that he believed you can't, if you're thinking, you can't run. He can't get his team to play fast if you're thinking. I really enjoy Mike D'Antoni. He's humble and he's bright and he's an elite coach in the league. And then I go to Quinn Snyder, who we all know I like, and is an elite coach in the league. And I asked him, how do you deal with the switching defense and what do? And he says, you've got to think and be a really high IQ player. And it was incredible to me that I've got these two coaches that are both world-class coaches, and they have such a different philosophy. And then you look at their backgrounds, and it makes some sense. So the backstory on Mike D'Antoni is he's a great player out of college. He ends up going to a coach who he's never really said who it was, who berates him and yells at him and screams at him and basically breaks him. And he becomes scared to shoot, scared to play. He leaves the U.S., goes to play professionally in Italy. And his coach in Italy says to him, if you don't take 12 shots a game, you can't play for me. You've got to take at least 12 shots a game. And his first game, he's 1-for-11. He doesn't take the 12th shot. And after the game, the coach yells at him for having not taken the 12th shot and says, if you're going to play for me, you have to shoot 12 times at least. That frees Mike into this new era of how he feels about himself, and he becomes the Italian all-time leading scorer. Quinn is the guy who has a JD and an MBA at Duke, was on this verge of going, who loves tax law, who's on the verge of, you know, going into corporate stuff for Morgan Stanley or Goldman Sachs or something, who's done internships doing that work in his career, and absolutely has said at times that his favorite thing was tax law, and it's not that different with the basketball because you're just trying to find the loopholes where you can work around things. And it was just so fascinating to me of these two different perspectives that you have on both sides. All right, I have one point that I want to get out there, and then I'm going to start taking your questions, then we'll talk about New Orleans, and then we'll look at points gained early in the season, which is kind of ridiculous, but it's fun to see who's just playing crazy well, and we'll look at last night's games. There were two big ones on TNT that were super interesting. Locked On NBA, by the way, Ben Golliver joined me yesterday. It was a really interesting conversation. And then Wednesday, Sam Amick joined the guys, and Adam and Anthony are great today. So make sure you listen to that when you're done. All right, so I talked about this a lot in the offseason, and so this is a little bit of a, you know, hey, by the way, I said this originally, and I want you to know that and think I'm really smart. No. But it's a little bit of, let me just kind of go back to something I've said a lot, and it might be true and it might not, but I think it is happening. And that is, there's an offensive explosion. We're all talking about player freedom of movement. We're all talking about the foul rate. We're all talking about pace of play. I got another theory for you. Last year in the playoffs, the Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors were switching everything. And they have two of the most incredible players in the NBA in Draymond Green and Clint Capela. And Draymond Green and Clint Capela can switch 1 through 5. They can switch any 2, 3, 4, 5. They're incredible. Their defenses switched almost all year. That's all they did. That's how they play. They understood it. You can see in Houston now, like, Michael Carter-Williams doesn't know when to switch or when not to switch. So it's clear to me that part of what we're talking about is personnel and ability to do it. We saw Cleveland try to do it without the personnel in the playoffs and knowing how, and they looked ridiculous. I think that's what's going on in the league. I think we have a bunch of teams that are switching everything and have no idea how to do it. I think they have no clue how to do it. And I think that's as big an issue as anything. And that's why there's this offensive explosion going on, is that the teams that are trying to change the way they're defending, first of all, dropping big defense was 7 of the 9 best defenses in the NBA last year, not switching. There were two good switching defense. They happen to play in the Western Conference Finals. They happen to be the two best teams. They happen to have unique center players that nobody else in the league has anything else like. Al Horford would be the next version of it, as close as anyone. So I think part of what's going on in the league right now is that a bunch of teams are trying to do things they can't do, and therefore the offense is outrageously high. I do think there's a pace of play. I do think there's a freedom of movement. The freedom of movement is all made so teams can't switch. So we actually have the league making rule changes to change the way the game is called to prevent switching, and then all these teams trying to switch. Now, 1 through 4 switching is just basically good defense if you have the right personnel on the floor. But the minute you bring the 5 into the mix, or the minute you have 2 bad defensive players, clearly the Rockets are very different trying to protect 2 defensive players, Carmelo Anthony and James Harden, than 1. The Warriors run their whole entire defensive structure to just make sure that Steph doesn't get killed every possession. But when you have 2 of them in Harden and in Carmelo, I think it gets really interesting. By the way, Rockets are supposedly offering some sort of 4 first-round draft picks for Jimmy Butler. The word I heard last night from around the league is that not all of those are new draft picks, that some of them are pick swaps. Which is not that big a deal. Am I sick? No. Why? Do I sound sick? Garrett says, are you sick? Do I look that bad this morning? Garrett Kramer just said, are you sick? No. Do I sound sick? Do I sound terrible? I feel totally awesome. It's great. All right. Now you have me all self-conscious and insecure. Why are you doing that to me? My daughter, if I call home every time, I can get degraded by my daughter in some way. She's 13 years old. She can tell me every single day, like, Dad, did you not get enough sleep last night? Your eyelids are really baggy. Dad, you have more wrinkles than you used to have. Like, I don't need you, Garrett. I have a 13-year-old daughter. I got someone, and I got my wife, who really keeps me humble, as I like to say. Thanks, Garrett. Are you sick today? Is that what I look like? We're going to have to change the lighting in here. Maybe I should just let you guys look at the view. Whee! All right. Let's come back. We'll take your questions. I've given my thoughts on that. We'll talk a little bit New Orleans in the next segment. Then we will go to more of your questions and points gained as well. The Snowmobile Show is in town and coming your direction, and you need to get there. It starts today, being Friday, and it exists on Saturday as well. They have just the crew at Snow West and all the others who put this thing together. Jason Harris is the guy I talk to all the time. It's incredible. It's presented by Fly Racing, Snowmobile Association, Snow West Magazine. And it's at the now Mountain America Expo Center, which was the Southtown Expo Center. And it's huge. It's the biggest show in the Intermountain region. Arctic Circle, Ski-Doo, Polaris, all the 2019 models, mountain sleds, youth sleds, family sleds, deep powder sleds, trail machines, all the snowmobiles made for the show. Big, fast, lightweight, modified mountain sleds, unique sleds, all there. Plus, coats, snowsuits, pants, boots, helmets. Snowmobile Show is all there. They've got great snowmobile trailers, accessories, pro snowmobilers on hand. Taking place at what is now known as the Mountain America Expo Center. And it starts Friday at 3, Saturday it goes 10 to 6, Mountain America Expo Center. If you go to snowest.com/Utah, snowest.com/Utah, you can get discount ticket or regularly priced tickets at the gate. I'm going to try to put this little Facebook thingy on a stand and see. I have what's called a Brefo stand that I brought on the trip solely for this purpose. And forgot to use it. Oh, look how good that looks. Now I look fabulous. Back you up so you're not as close to me. I do not look fabulous. I am 48 years old, and it's all falling apart. Thanks for letting me know, Garrett. But I don't care if it's all falling apart. I am still eating my mudslide cookies, damn it, at 6200 South and 20th East. It is the mudslide cookie. Wait a sec. I think they're here for Bagpole. I'll bring it down myself. We have a bus early this morning. I probably should hurry up on this show. Here's what's going on at the store. The Mudslide cookie is there. Jeff and Scott keep telling me it's the number two cookie. That's not acceptable. We need the Mudslide cookie to become number one. They say it's not possible. Go check it out. 600 South, 20th East. I think it's the deepest, darkest, best, chocolatey, most awesome cookie in town, unequaled. Second thing I want to tell you about is June Pie is coming on Friday, so today's the day where they're all there. If you're looking for any of the great cheeses, you're having people over or something like that, they have an incredible cheese that I think Scotty's gone all around the country and nations and worlds and looked at cheese things and prodding the best he can, plus great local places. Back, they have a new chef that they have who's making sandwiches and rolls, wraps for you all there. And then they got the Haverford Meats, really fabulous. 6200 South, 20th East, the store. Bill Hedrick says the s'mores cookie is the best. Wow, Bill. They also have, by the way, Rich's Bagels. I used to hang out with some of the friends from Rich's Bagels. They have Rich's Bagels right behind there. All right, let's run through your questions. Good morning to Cody Jensen and Zach Larson. Glad to have you aboard. By the way, I do want to give a shout-out, if I could for a second, to a few of the 10 newest members of the Locked on Jazz Facebook group. I have a nice guy who's been trying to help me out on how to make a game day thread on the Locked on Jazz Facebook group. I am going to figure that out tonight. And New Orleans game, I'm vowing right now we will have that up and ready for you, okay? So that you can comment and interact with people on that. But welcome to Weber State and Texas Roadhouse employee Cole Gillifin. Steve Vest out of Bountiful, glad to have you aboard. Dylan Bosart from Boss Fire Protection in Salt Lake Community College. Jamie Sorensen, thank you very much for joining. Ryan Lavender, thank you very much. He's a Larry H. Miller Chevy guy. Thank you, Larry H. Miller. Joshua Scott, thanks for joining. Dax Halm, Brad Lorister, why couldn't have I gotten like Smith and Joneses today? Like, come on. Brady Frampton, thank you for a name I can handle. And Hannah Hesley. Hannah, thank you very much for joining the Locked on Jazz Facebook group. You can do that on Facebook as well. All right. Hello, Brian. Hello, Zach. Is that? No, we are still in Houston. We are flying this hotel room that was all. We are still in Houston right now. This is perfect timing. I have a phone interview at 9. Well, Bill, you and your s'mores cookie, enjoy your call at 9. Tyler Kravins, Nick, hello, everybody. Big game tomorrow from Brandon Starks. They're incredible. So New Orleans is playing at an incredibly fast pace right now. More than that, when they're sprinting out the floor, if you watch the game, watch when the shot goes up, how their guys are just releasing out and sprinting out the minute they have the rebound. We're really going to have to get back in transition. Number two is when they don't have something, what they're doing is they're just sending Anthony Davis to the post, usually on the left-hand side of the floor, and having him post up and then just run a quick offensive set out of that. They're playing at 100. I don't have their pace. They're playing at a they're the number one offensive team in the league by a million miles right now. No one's figured that out, how to stop it. They're at 124 points per 100 possessions. And they are pounding the ball inside. They're taking the third most amount of shots at the rim, the third most amount of shots short mid-range because probably Anthony Davis. They're not taking corner threes, and they're not actually taking a lot of threes. They're 28th in the league overall in taking threes. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not the Jazz can get them into the half court. They're only playing 75% of their possessions in the half court, which is the third fewest in the NBA. They're pretty darn good. They're the number one team in points per play in the half court right now. But the Jazz, they're just getting out and playing quickly. I mean, it's not that they're not half court because they don't get a million stops. It's that they play it so fast once they get in there. It'll be interesting. They are not defending the rim at all. They are 29th in the league in allowing shots at the rim. They're allowing 43.4% of their shots at the rim. So we'll see if the Jazz can take advantage of that. All right. With the new freedom of movement rules, it feels like the flow of the game is hard to watch. So many ticky-tack fouls and so many inconsistent. I want to know your opinion on that. That's from Brandon. Brandon, I have not felt that. I don't feel like I've been impacted by player movement as much as other games. I do think that there are a lot of fouls and they're expecting the players to adjust to it. I think that is very true and very accurate that they're planning and that they're hoping the players are going to react and create the movement. I'm sure not everyone loves this player movement thing. Some coaches probably hate it. Some coaches like it. It's going to be a commitment by Monty McCutchen and the NBA office to stay with it. And that's going to be interesting to see whether or not that happens. Mike D'Antoni kind of has the same approach as Tony Dungy. I don't know a lot about Tony Dungy, so I don't know if that's true. I like Mike D'Antoni an awful lot, though. I think the league is trying to increase watchability for the casual fan, and it seems teams are running and getting those highlight plays more. Yeah, pace of play is still up. And highlight, but the casual fan is what matters. Like, because if you can turn the casual, you and I who might like to see somebody, run a really good pick with a back pick, this and a Y pin down and all this other crap. We're full of it. We're totally full of it. The guys that matter, the people that matter are the ones who enjoy, the highlights and the pure athleticism. I mean, I know a lot of people love soccer. What I don't like about soccer is I feel like the game, like Ronaldo's in the front part of the pitch. I don't know how to say these things. And there's 8 guys in the box. And so he can't use his brilliant athleticism. Like, I don't have any doubt these guys are incredible. I just get frustrated when I watch how rarely I get to see them be incredible. What the NBA is trying to do is create an environment where you can see the players be incredible as much as possible. Pace of play right now is up about 5%. Last year was about 100 possessions. Right now it's about 104, 105. Hello, Roger. From Landon. I sent the Dr. Evil pin across the world. Is it my fault you don't do that anymore? No. We did a bunch of things. We did pins across the world for a while. We did the Daily DeVar. And I just haven't found a new item yet. I was trying to think like the thing I liked the most that day about being in the NBA, something like that. I can't always find it. Last night but then that gets very about me and I don't really want that. So maybe we'll bring back pins across the world. It's been 2 years. There's good old Garrett telling me I look sick. Let's keep rolling through these. We all have rough mornings. I don't drink, so I don't have rough mornings. I wake up ready to go. I get up and do my little 7-minute workout, my 9-minute abs, and try to like, and then try to get to the gym later in the day. I went out one night on this very late with at the really cool little bar, and it had called Better Luck Tomorrow, and had a nice time. And that's the one time all year I'm staying out that late. But I got a full 8 hours last night. With a renewed push to get Butler, is this the Rockets acknowledging that Anthony is not who they thought he would be? I don't know if it's Carmelo, but I think the Rockets are aware of the fact that they're short. I think the Rockets, whose quest is to win a championship, realize they're short, and they may realize they're not. They may not be the second best team in the Western Conference. And then, you know, the hamstring on Harden is what I, you know, now puts a burden on Chris Paul. And then James Ennis, who they're really, really relying on, has just never gone through an 82-game schedule. I mean, he played 27 games in Detroit last year and 45 games in Memphis. And the year before, he played 64 games in Memphis. And the year before that, he played 3 games in Miami, 10 in Memphis, and 9 in New Orleans. And the year before that, he played 62. So, and now he's got a hamstring strain, and he's going to be evaluated, you know, at the end of their next road trip. So, you know, they can look at him on the numbers and see some things they like, but this is a guy who has not shown in the body, despite the fact that 6'7", 210 pounds, and looks like, you know, it should be the perfect NBA body. There's not a body that's shown it can stay healthy. And then Michael Carter-Williams just isn't very good. And I have my whole theory on players who don't shoot well, who are at long, we immediately announce that they're good defensive players, regardless if it's true or not. People thought Paul and Harden weren't going to work, but I am really not sure how they'll get Butler to work with the other two. Hadn't thought about it from that. I mean, I think they just need firepower, and they don't have a wing, and Butler's better than any wing, and he's a star, and he's pretty damn good, and he's a great defensive player, and Carmelo would probably be minimized, and he's just another great player, and those two guys don't need to prove anything, so they're probably fine. I mean, I think what's interesting in Boston is guys still have a lot to prove about what they want to do in their career. Harden's won his MVP. Chris Paul has his 8 MVP. You know, like, I don't think there's something else that those guys have to prove. I think that would actually, they would get a lot better. I'm only a Stanford guy because I'm a Stanford fan. I did not go there. Just want to make sure that's clear. Let's see. You called one thing majority correct this summer. I'm on fire right now with my off-season predictions. I just want to clarify this. I don't want to, like, tip my hat yet, but, like, I went pretty far out of the public speak because I can with some different thoughts. And thus far, points gained is nailing it. Well, speaking of points gained, maybe that's the nice sequitur into what we should go get. I got a nice email from a guy up in Logan who actually was having a hard problem with the league pass. Please let me know when you're having those, and we'll try to help you out. Alexa should be working, by the way, if you have league pass. Or just buy the audio league pass for $9.99. You go into your NBA skill on Amazon, put in your login, and then you should be able to get Alexa to play Utah Jazz basketball. You can also, within 75 miles, stream it on 1280 The Zone or 97.5 or the Utah Jazz app. But anyway, this guy at Logan emailed me the other day. I don't know if he wants his name out there. And he was saying that he stopped by the Murdoch Hyundai in Logan for the Santa Fe. And it's like, do you really like it? I was like, yes, we really bought one. We bought one for our 16-year-old son because after knowing we were going to get him a jalopy and not spoil him and not get him all these things, then it became time to get a kid a car. And I wanted every single safety feature I could get at the most reasonable price. My wife still wanted a third row of seats so she could play, you know, transport mom at times for our daughter, and the answer for us was the Santa Fe. We got it at Murdoch Hyundai, but if you're in Logan, you can do it there. If you're in Linden, you can do it there. Whenever you deal with the Murdochs, you get their guarantee, which is car washes for life, safety inspection for life, price match guarantee, and the 5-day return policy. With Hyundai, you get the 100,000-mile Hyundai assurance, and then you also get just the best lineup of cars for the value with all sorts of bells and whistles. Our Hyundai Santa Fe has every bell and whistle imaginable. Credible sunroof, beeps when you're changing lanes if there's a car there, has all the little seat warmers front and back, USB ports front and back. Third row of seats even, I think, had a USB charging port back there throughout the for it. I mean, just every single bell and whistle taken care of, looked at, thought of. There was a cool one we found the other day. We had a tire get a nail in it, and the tire just actually drops out of the back. Instead of having to pull it all out, you just drop it down, and then you pull. It's so cool. It's just a very well-thought-out car. That's how all Hyundais are. If you're looking for the Kona, which is their smaller SUV, the Tucson, which is the midsize SUV with some great discounts, or the Santa Fe, go to Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street or in Logan or in Linden. All right, should we really – let's run through points gained quickly. It's kind of silly. The only thing it tells us is just, like, who's unbelievable. I can't tell if it has last night in it. Let me take a quick check of that. Sorry. And see what there's a place where I get my numbers, and they usually say what day it's been updated through. And the answer is this has been updated through 10/25. Oh, so yes, yesterday. All right, so this is up to date. So Steph Curry is the best pack player in the league, or points gained player. Points gained is with the 24 scoring opportunities that Steph is using a night, how many more points is he scoring than the average player? You know, frankly, I probably have to go take a look and make – oh, no, I have it set up so it automatically updates based on how the numbers change as the year goes on. Points per scoring opportunity are probably – that's interesting. Points per scoring opportunity are not up. Huh. Is that really right? Let me make sure. Wow, points per scoring opportunity, exact same as they were a year ago. They went up a little bit last year, but anyway. So Steph is number one at 8.3, which is an insane number that will never be equaled. Zach LaVine is number two at 6.5, which is an insane number that will never be equaled. Blake Griffin is five. They're all insane numbers. Blake Griffin is third. Kyle Lowry is fourth. Nikola Jokic is fifth. Have you seen him? He literally catches the ball at the free throw line right now. Just backs his way all the way down to the basket and lays it up over the top of the defense. Chris Middleton is six. Anthony Davis, who we'll see, is seven. Dwight Powell in Dallas. Is he really still in Dallas? I thought he moved teams. I thought he was somewhere else. Is seventh. Dame Lillard is eighth. Devin Booker is nine. Chris LaVert in Brooklyn is on fire at 10. Chris Paul is 11, Rudy Gobert is 12, Nikola Mirotic is 13, Will Barton is 14, injured, and Jimmy Butler is 15. Rodney McCruger is 16, Ian Clark in limited minutes is 17 because he hasn't missed a shot yet this year. Joe Ingles is 18, Markieff Morris in Washington is 19, and Amon Shumpert in Sacramento is 20. The worst offensive players so far this season: Chris Dunn in Chicago, minus 5.4. He's usually there. Russell Westbrook, minus 5.2. Dennis Schroeder, minus 5.1. No wonder they can't score. Rondae Hollis Jefferson, oh, that's a bummer. I love him. Drew Holiday has been brutal so far this year, minus, despite how good they are, minus 5. Avery Bradley, whose body is failing him, minus 6. Jonathan Simmons. Wesley Owudu out of Orlando. LaMarcus Aldridge. Eric Gordon. Ricky Rubio. J.J. Barea, Jaylen Brown, Paul George. Wow, Oklahoma City, sorry. Jeremy Grant, Harry Giles, Kyrie Irving, Alan Crabb, and Trey Burke, and then Dwayne Wade. And Kevin Love are the worst offensive players. By the way, that tells me that Oklahoma City gets this back together a little bit. I mean, this is just ridiculous how bad they are. Last night's game, Boston and Oklahoma City played. Neither could score. Offensive rating for Oklahoma City last night, a 94. Offensive rating for Boston, 100. Like, nobody, those two teams really can't score right now. So, right now in the league, the best offense is New Orleans. They're off the charts at 121. The league average is right back now about 107, 108, where it was last year. Like, or the median team. New York, Miami's at 102, New York's at 101. Orlando drops to 100. Then Boston's at 98, Memphis is at 97, and Oklahoma City is at 94. I mean, Oklahoma City, that's why three of their guys are there. That's catastrophically bad. It's interesting, though. There's a huge drop. Philadelphia is at 106. The next team is the Clippers at 103.9. That we're at 103.9. And then Houston's at 103.4. Brooklyn at 103.4. Cleveland, there's a huge drop in there that I've never seen before in a combination of 30 teams that just suddenly players are dropping off the map in what they're able to do. So just quickly last night, because we're kind of doing that these days, Denver-LA game was amazing. They went up and down, but their pace was still 106. The 114, 112s have slowed down a little bit. LeBron was great. Kuzma was great. That was a super good game. A little surprised Denver lost that game last night, but the Lakers need to get a win. 113 offensive rating for the Lakers, 107 for Denver last night. The other game, Portland and Orlando last night, was not a fast-paced game at all. It was at 96. So this is just an offensive explosion. The pace of play has slowed way down, and that's my thing. I think people are just playing fundamentally terrible defense. Or it's freedom of movement, and you can't. One of the two. Nikola Vukovic is having a nice start of the season, by the way. That's worth probably noting a little bit. And then Detroit goes to undefeated. Cleveland didn't have Kevin Love. Poor Rodney Hood. He just is having a tough start to the year. And that team's a mess. Rodney so far this year, five games, 39% from the field, 11% from three. Like, he's not playable. They don't have a choice. But probably worth keeping an eye on. All right, I only got a few more minutes because we have a flight to catch and we're long. Do you think it's time to wake Ricky up by having him come off the bench? So, Tyler, I would tell you, this isn't, you know, Ricky's not been very good. And I'm not being critical here. This is a great example of, like, fans, how we never think about trying to coach 82 games. Quinn's job is to get this team through 82 games. Dante has not been crushing it, despite what you wrote there. He's been good, but he's not been crushing it, and he doesn't necessarily read the offense great. And in the half-court game against Memphis, he was terrible, as was Ricky. But you suddenly start Dante instead of Ricky tomorrow because Ricky started with four bad games, and you just throw the entire balance of this team upside down. You would just blow up the entire balance of this team and show no faith in a player. Like, you've got to let Ricky try to work through it. He is a notoriously slow starter. This is the first time he didn't play in the summer, which all of us thought was going to be a positive, but maybe considering the fact that he's always been a second half of the season player, it was a negative because he isn't ready to get going. So I just don't think, and the next guy asked you, do we start Dante? I mean, two things. One is, I think that you're falling in love with Dante because of the highlights rather than the game played. And two, Ricky's been really bad shooting, and I think you got to try to bestow confidence on him to let him keep going. What will Tabo's minutes be like and at what position? He'll play the four, and I don't know. George Niang's been pretty good. Jay Crowder's been great. I don't know whether or not that suspension may have Tabo having to fight four rotation minutes. I have no idea on that. But, I mean, I could see it. George Niang brings some things that Tabo doesn't bring. How do you think the rule change that prohibits the jump shooter from jumping into the defender will change how players use screens and close out? I don't know. It's a great question. Hadn't thought about it. Let's keep an eye on that one, Brant. I think it'll be subtle, and we'll have to remind ourselves about it. What's my favorite restaurant in Houston? I went to two, but went to them both yesterday. Cata Robata for sushi is incredible. Maybe my favorite sushi spot. And Hugo's, which is a traditional Mexican place, but really just great, creative, really great. One of my favorite restaurants. So we went last night to Hugo's, had a wonderful time. I was with David Morway, our assistant GM, and I said to him, you know, this place is one like a James Beard. And he was like, really? And I was like, and then by the end of the night, he was like, oh. So I'll have to bust him about that. Where's Matt Moon? We missed you, Matt Moon. I want to meet Joe Ingles. All right. Hope you guys are great. On the Dante conversation, by the way, I would leave you this thought. What are the four? I just think this is interesting. I think Dante is still developing. What are the three or four skills that you need for each position in the league? So, like, when you think of a point guard, what are three or four positions you think of? What are three or four positions for a shooting guard? What are three or four for a small forward? What are three or four for a power forward? And what are three or four for a big now? Okay? Like, I think that's an interesting way to think about it. They can intertwine. They certainly do. What are those skills? And then write down Dante's skills when you're done with that. And tell me where he fits. I think it's an interesting discussion. That is Locked On Jazz. Have a great one. Thanks for tuning in. Now, go listen to Locked On NBA. Tell Alexa, play Locked On NBA. Oh, somebody's mad at me.